You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, your prediction about inflation was a little bit premature, and the reason I introduced that theme is because the markets are in a sort of a transitional period now. And what I mean by that is that a couple of weeks ago, everyone said that actually the Fed is going to continue to tighten, and then came the mini banking crisis, and everyone said, well, you can't tighten anymore because of the mini banking crisis, has sort of drifted into the background a little bit. It's still there, but it has become less important. Yeah, same time in South Africa, the earnings season is over. So, plus Easter coming up. So it's going to be a quiet period, I think.
Yeah, more than likely. Just a few points on your early opening comment. I'm never wrong. I'm just mistaken.
Yeah. It's like I say, I didn't lose it. I just misplaced it.
Yeah. And no one knows the future. I'm still firmly behind my inflation story that it's going to fall materially from April, May onwards, and you are going to be surprised on the downside, well, the good side, whichever side you want to call it, on inflation. And the reason why is it's simply statistical. And I'm not talking South Africa, I'm talking the UK, the US, Europe, etc. These countries are not 8% inflation countries over decades. They're not. They're 2, 3, 4% inflation countries over decades. And once in every 40 years, you get such a shocker to the system. But the recovery from that back to normality is normally extremely quick. So when you get these, now be a little bit statistical now, when you get these 7 or 8 standard deviation events, damn it, they unwind so quickly. It's the same as COVID. You know, COVID is a, you could argue, a 1 in 100 year occasion, because the last time we had this
Spanish flu,
similar experience, was the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I mean, other than a couple of areas, unfortunately, today I've come from a conference. Conference centers are still empty.
Yeah.
So the conference industry hasn't recovered. But nowadays, you sit every time you turn on the, every time you listen to the news on the radio or TV, 2 years ago, it would have opened with COVID. Now you don't even hear it. You know, it's so behind us now. So, and the same as the China zero COVID policy, it just unwound in a flash, because you know, a COVID restriction policy is not normality. So the point is, the return to normality is normally quite, if the run up is quick, the run down is also quick. That's the first point. The second point is the scare on the market. Let's put the banking crisis aside for a moment.
Okay.
The scare on the market actually started end of January, when the market thought, hey, hang on a second, maybe the rates are going to go up more. But I think even more importantly, they're not coming down as quickly as what the market thought. And that was a scare. That's when the equity market started to fall. And especially the mining shares, because they went up the most. Now I'm talking South Africa.
Yes.
And the banking crisis just exacerbated that. It just, if the banking crisis had have occurred in a normal inflation environment, I don't think it would have had the same effect. But of course, the banking crisis wouldn't have occurred if the inflation environment was normal, because the reason why it occurred is that inflation and interest rates are high. And we've had this massive reversal in the long bond yield overseas. So I don't think this banking crisis has caused any weakness. It might have exacerbated the existing fall because of worries about inflation and interest rates. So what I think is happening in the market now, and why we're seeing this little bit of a recovery, is that people are going back to the theme we had in January, was that, hey, we're more or less at the peak of interest rates. Inflation will fall. Interest rates will be cut at the end of this year, beginning of next year. I mean, there's some. Now, I'm not a big believer in forward rates, whatever they're called, you know, your FRAs or what, whatever, the forward market. I mean, I'm not a money market dealer, so I don't really know that.
Right.
But in America, the forward market's cutting, you know, pricing in a 25% rate cut in July.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a big believer, because I actually think they're more wrong than right. But I'm just saying that's what the market is now pricing in. And I think that's why we're having this little rally that we see now. But also, coming back to one of my fundamental little themes over the next year or two or three,
yes,
the equity market out specifically for South Africa and for South African assets in general on the 3 to 5 year basis is actually quite sound. It's actually quite good. But in this period now, where we are now, there's still a lot of uncertainty about inflation, interest rates, and economic growth. You mustn't forget that, because now when I watch the news and listen to the radio, et cetera, I hear this recession word coming up, you know, recession, and all the forecasts show significantly lower growth this year than what we're going to get next year and what we had last year.
Before you go on, Wayne, just before you go on, the World Bank has forecast that South Africa will only grow in the next year at something like 0.2%. I mean, that's a shocker. I mean, but do you agree with that?
Yeah, it is a shocker, but 0.2, 0.5, whatever, you know. Yeah, it's all very low, and at least a full 1% of that has been pulled off by load shedding. I know a lot of people say 2%, but I've always thought that's a bit too high. So our own economists within the First Rand Group have said 1% is being pulled off GDP, and to me that sounds more realistic. But, you know, come back to maybe the only thing I know about markets and economies. Maybe the only thing I know really in all of my experience over many years is that 95% of what happens is cyclical, and the 5% of what happens, which is structural, takes a lot longer to come to fruition than what people anticipate. In fact, it's more evolution than revolution when it comes to structural changes. And a good example is, how many years ago did they have the thing going on in Davos there where it was just fourth or fifth industrial revolution? I've even forgotten.
So
that's all you heard. Autonomous
cars.
Fourth, yeah, whatever. You know, autonomous cars are going to be running around. Have you seen any yet?
No, and I never will get in one if there are any running around in front of me. I'm not getting one of those things.
I'm just saying these new age thinking, Bitcoin, you know, all of these funny things, you know, these things, you can't stop them over time, by the way. They are unstoppable over time. But how long it takes you to get there is more evolution than revolution. So to come back to my central point,
right?
Basically, all I know about markets is 90-95% is cyclical. So just when things can't get any better, they don't. They get worse. And just when things can't get any worse, they don't, they get better. You know, so it's these turning points, these pivot points, these fulcrum points in the cycle are when the worst investment decisions are taken, because you are at such an extreme, either positive or negative, that you're convinced this is a structural change and the future will be the same as the immediate past. In my experience, those are the biggest mistakes made in investment. It's like taking money overseas when the rand's 19 after coming from 14. But when 14, it was going to 12. Now, that's really the only thing I truly know about investments.
So what you've got to do, Wayne, is you've got to set aside an area in your beautiful warehouse with your wonderful cars in the north of Johannesburg. You've got to set aside a room and a big wall, and you've got to get these charts, these big graphs, and you've got to say, right, this is commodities, this is banks, this is currencies, this is the JSE, and you've got all these different indicators, all these different instruments over the last 20 years, maybe longer. You sit down every single morning and you look at them and you say, okay, where are we in the cycle? Look at how it goes up, look at how it goes down, and you have a look at it where it is now, and you say, okay, I'm not looking to make money today. I'm looking to make money for my clients over the next 2 to 5 to 10 years or something. And if you just sit down quietly and look at them and say, nothing to do there, nothing to do there, wait a second, this is too high, this is too low. That's a very good philosophy.
Yes. And what you should be doing now is buying mining shares and bringing money back from overseas. But certainly on the bringing money back from overseas, you'll be laughed out of the room. But that's what I genuinely believe. The rand is a cyclical, it's structurally weak over time, but it is a cyclical currency, and it's now at the bottom end, or the bad end, if you want to call it that, of its particular cycle. Because we have overseas the highest interest rates in 40 years, or more correctly, the biggest increase in interest rates in the last 40 years, the highest inflation in the last 40 years. And that's not good for global growth, which is not good for commodity prices, which is not good for a big portion of our JSE, and it's not good for the rand either. So, you know, that's where you are.
Okay. We've just...
In my view.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good philosophy. Wayne, you have just experienced earnings season, which I said in my introduction. And when you look back at it, I'm going to ask how it felt, how you thought it was. But I was speaking to your old friend and adversary as well, Shapiro, who's got a diametrically opposed view to you. In the markets, he is. No, in the markets, he is.
No, I mean, he's not.
Of course he is. He doesn't believe in buying South African banks. He doesn't believe in South African banks. He won't touch them.
I got your net, but That's the joy of the market. You always know one thing with Shapiro. He's truly only happy under two sets of circumstances.
At lunch, first
he
of all.
He loves a bull market. He loves a bull market.
Yes, he does.
Is a bull market investor par excellence. Hmm. And secondly, he's only really happy when Arsenal's doing badly. That's perverse, because he likes to moan about Arsenal. He loves to say they're useless. Their coach is useless. Their players. He loves to say it. When they're winning, quite frankly, he doesn't know what to do with himself. He's actually a little bit on edge. Actually, I don't think he likes it when Arsenal is winning like now. I honestly don't think he likes it, because then he can't moan about them. He loves them, but he loves to moan about them as well.
We speak about them every week, and I must say at the moment, he's cautiously changing that perspective, brimming with confidence and bursting with enthusiasm, but he just won't admit it. But anyway, the point was, the reason I was speaking to Shapiro was he said that he does his stats over the weekend, you know. He gets a little bit bored because there's been no football this weekend because it's an international break. So he does a statistical analysis and puts graphs together and Excel spreadsheets and things like that, and he said that seven companies on the JSE account for 66% of the JSE. And he said that you can't possibly, because I asked him about results season, he said you can't possibly analyze results season when it's so polarized. So what do you say?
Yes. Look, I mean, let's take what Shapiro has just given you. Mm. And by the way, Shapiro doesn't do his analysis on the weekend. I don't think Shapiro sleeps. I think he does his analysis at 1:30 in the morning.
No, and he sleeps until 5.
Yeah, I think he's got a Reuters. I think he's got a Reuters Bloomberg terminal on his bedside table there.
No.
And I think he looks at it all night and pushes little buttons and stuff like that on his terminal. Shapiro is an unusual character.
Yeah, he is. But anyway, let's get up. Otherwise, we'll become obsessed with him. Yeah, people will think we're obsessed with him. Yeah, go on.
If we look at what David said, and he's quite correct.
Yes.
But if we analyze now the South African portion of that result season, which is maybe 25% of our total market, the banks did better than expected.
Yes.
With one exception, which was APSA, which had a bit of a wobbly there. Was it in Ghana or somewhere? They had a bit of a wobbly there. The retailers by and large, did quite well. With obviously one or two exceptions, Mr. Price was a bit of a disappointment, etc., etc. Maybe Pick and Pay was a bit of a disappointment, but Woolies did well, Checkers, Shoprite did well, etc., etc. The other retailers, by and large, the apparel lot did reasonably well, but the big negatives, and I know they're not separately listed, but they're components of big retailers, is anything durable and semi-durable. I'm talking now not motor cars, but durable and semi-durable, actually did not do well at all. So fridges, appliances, white goods, etc., furniture in particular, did not do well at all. But another theme I think we're seeing there is a big resurgence in, let's call it leisure. Now, whether that's driven by overseas people and overseas people coming into South Africa, but, you know, every airline in South Africa is gearing up capacity because there's no capacity. There's no empty seats on aeroplanes in SA. The car rental fleets are buying cars like crazy. They're actually upping their rental capacity. And every single leisure hotel group that reported quite material increases in occupancy rates. So that is, and then, okay, so that's the South African side. The other part of the earnings season was the mining side. With one or two exceptions, exactly as expected, mining earnings have peaked and they're coming down, and dividends have peaked and they're coming down quite naturally. It's also a cycle, so that was anticipated. Then the other big companies, which is a handful of things, Richemont's doing phenomenally well because travel, luxury goods, et cetera, are doing very well overseas. So Richemont's doing exceptionally well. Naspers and Prosus are actually doing quite well because of the Chinese zero COVID policy being lifted, and the big attacks on big tech by the Chinese government seems to have abated a little bit. So they've done phenomenally well. And then SAB was okay. You know, so in general, the results season was, I suppose you can say, slightly better than anticipated in South Africa.
Yes, and also you've got companies like Barlow World coming out with an update today, and they say that...
That was very interesting, that update.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah, 5 months first of all was interesting. Why just 5 months? But anyway, they
I'll
say...
come back to the 5 months.
An 11% higher EBITDA to 1.9 billion, but it was higher. And I thought, wait a second, I haven't had a look into how much of their business is done here and overseas, but you'll be able to tell me that.
First of all, on the five-month story, when a company comes out with anything except a six-month update at the half-year or final-year report, yes. So whenever you get a four-month update or a five-month update, you know it's either extremely good news or extremely bad news, because otherwise they wouldn't be telling you. So yes. There's a surefire guide as to why it's 5 months or 3 months or 4 months. It's because either something's hell of a good or hell of a bad, and they want to either... Well, I want to tell you about it. So the Barlow World one was actually quite good. And it's interesting because this ties in with my central theme, equipment South Africa, in other words, big yellow machines.
Yes.
Flying, eh? Absolutely flying, because the mines are spending capex.
This is why Master Drilling did well. You saw their results yesterday. It's exactly a tiny company compared to Barlow World. But that is almost like, it's almost a red flag to you, because you might say to yourself, well, if Master Drilling is doing well and yellow machines are doing well, then that means more supply in the future is coming on, and therefore commodity prices will come down.
But in the future. That's what you're worried about in 6 years' time. But that's what you're worried about in six plus years' time when it does come on. Right now, it's not coming on, and we're going back into a normal demand environment next year, which will mean higher prices and higher share prices. So that's my central theme.
Okay.
And the second thing on Barlow, which was I found really interesting, was their Russian business. Sales have halved in Russia because of sanctions and the whole Russian situation. Sales halved. But the business that they're still doing, margins have gone up. So in other words, the business that's left over is actually pumping. So although sales have halved, they've cut their expenses, so their gross margins, and they've got higher margins. So you would expect margin to also halve. It didn't halve. It fell by about 20 or 30%, because the business that's still staying there, credibly profitable business. So I found that very interesting.
Yeah,
first of all, that sales halved because of Russian, because of Russia and Ukraine and everything. But that margin actually went up significantly on the business they did do. I also found that interesting. So I thought it was quite an interesting update.
I thought it was interesting from a political sort of woke point of view is that Barlow World hasn't sold its Russian business because of political concerns. But anyway, that's what other companies have done.
That's another story.
Yeah, it is another story. Wayne, so what are you doing now? You sitting on the sidelines? Are you...
We're buying mining shares.
Now, we've been talking about this for weeks. You've been sort of teasing me with this, and I said the PGMs are the most interesting,
PGMs,
and you sort of concurred with me, and now you're buying mining shares across the board, or what?
No, we're buying platinum shares.
Oh, good. We've just had a trading statement from Wesizwe Platinum Limited, by the way. It's probably too small for you, but yeah.
I haven't looked at that now.
No, it's only just come out. Okay, Wayne, apart from that, I need to tell you a quick story, and it's linked to food, but just indulge me on the preamble. I went cycling today because it's not raining, which is something you can't often say at this time of year in the Netherlands. And I'm cycling along this sort of leafy lane. I must give you context here. I live in a large town in the middle of a rural area. And so the first reason I know it's spring is because in the morning, I live in the city centre, I hear birds singing. And in winter, you don't hear birds singing. So at 6 o'clock, the birds start tweeting, and I think that's nice. And then I have my breakfast, and I go out on my bicycle, and I go down a leafy lane. And you see Dutch people, industrious Dutch people with high visibility orange jackets on, and they're trimming the trees and the bushes. They're cutting down all the dead wood from winter in order to promote the spring growth. And they put it on the side of the road. And if you want to, you can come and pick it up in your trailer, in your bucky or whatever it is, and take it home and use it for a braai or something, whatever you need it for. Then I'm driving along or cycling along, and I see the lambs. There's brand new lambs. You can see they're brand new because they're completely white. They're probably born this morning as I was cycling along. And I have to say, I feel guilty because I'm thinking of a shoulder of lamb with root vegetables and delicious gravy and mint sauce and that sort of thing, and delicious crispy roast potatoes. But let's not go there because I did feel guilty about it. The other thing...
Well.
I know. They do say the Lord will provide.
Feel guilty. You can cry while you're eating it.
Exactly. But then I went to this little farm. It's a retired couple, and they've got chickens, and they've got geese, and they've got ducks, and they've got, what else? They've got swans for some reason, and they've all had little babies. So it's very, very spring-like, very, very nice. But the reason I went there is because there's one thing that they do, and that's all they do, because they've got enough money. They don't sell the birds themselves, the meat itself. They sell eggs, and the goose egg season has started, Wayne. Goose eggs. I bought 4 large goose eggs. I put it in the basket in the front of my bicycle, and I promise you, tomorrow morning I'm going to boil one for 9 minutes, because that's exactly, I've worked out that that's how much it takes to make it exactly how I like it. Yeah, and you can't put it in an egg cup because it's too big. You put it in in a teacup or something. And tomorrow morning, I'm having boiled goose.
It sounds delicious.
Oh, it's so good because it's fresh. It was laid today. I'm so looking forward. What's your food story?
No, I've got 2 little ones. Just one's coming on what you've been saying. The last 3 or 4 mornings, I've had a good old-fashioned soft-boiled egg with finger toast.
Oh.
And it truly is delicious. It is delicious. But then my food story is related to egg. We've spoken about it before, and I think it's one of your acquaintances' friends that started the business by word of mouth.
Oh, yes. It's Corin something. Anyway, she's married. I used to know her by her original name. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. And I popped into there in the weekend, and I always like trying out their new things. So they had Boboti spring rolls.
Mm.
Now, I love Boboti and I love spring rolls, and these were delicious. But that's not the main story. The main story is they had egg fried rice. No meat, nothing in it, just egg fried rice. So I bought that, and I thought, I'm going to try something different with this. And the nice thing about the egg fried rice is they had like little 30 millimeters, 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters square cuts of, you know, almost omelette egg slices, you know, little thin slices, little wafers of 3 by 3 as the egg on the egg fried rice. So it wasn't sort of built in as part of the stir mix. It was actually separate, and that was delicious. So what I did was Woolworths sells some spicy chicken pieces already cut and everything in little packets, and I heated that up with a bit of soya sauce in the pan, a bit of butter, tiny bit of garlic, and mixed that in with the warmed up the egg fried rice just in the microwave, and mixed that in with the egg fried rice and a little bit of butter. It was totally delicious. So I'm certainly buying both the Boboti spring rolls and the egg fried rice, and I'll chuck a bit of chicken into it. It was really nice, and it's such a quick meal.
So you went to Karen by word of mouth, and then you went to Woolies and mixed the two together and came up with a Wayne. We'll call it a Wayne. You came up with a Wayne concoction.
It is truly delicious, and it takes you, without exaggerating, 5 minutes, and you've got a really nice meal. And I thought the egg fried rice, I can't remember what the price was, but it was way more than enough for 2 of us. We only ate about half of it. And I don't think the egg fried rice by itself was more than 150 Rand, 120 Rand. The chicken pieces from Woolies was maybe 50, 60, 70 Rand. I can't remember. But for, let's call it for 200 Rand, we actually got a really good meal, probably for 4 people.
That is good value.
I was quite, it was great. And it was really, really delicious. I don't know what sort of rice they used in it, but very small grained rice. No, I really liked it.
Something as always, now I'm hungry. Okay.
Yeah, now I'm also hungry now. Actually, I'm not that hungry because I was in a conference meeting all day.
Munching.
At the Pivot Hotel here at Monte Cassino, and we got nice little brekkie snacks. We got nice little tea time snacks. We got nice lunch. And we had a couple of little snacks with afternoon tea and coffee. So surprisingly enough, at this time of day, today I'm not hungry. Normally this time of the day I am starving.
Okay, give it half an hour. Wayne, thank you very much for your time as always. That's Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investment, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. Thank you, Wayne. The spring here is lovely. The lambs, I don't know if it's too, I'm going to go to my butcher and say, look, I need a new season lamb. I don't want one of the old lambs from your freezer. I want a proper new season lamb. But I do
a new,
feel guilty.
A new one, yeah.
Because they look so lovely. They were gambolling around in the fields.
Yeah, you've got to put that thought aside.
Mm.
But as you heard earlier on, we're heading for winter. Yeah, we had nice cold rain at the moment.
Yes.
And last night was the first night that I slept in a tracksuit pants and a long sleeve t-shirt. It's starting to get a little cool here now.
Okay.
I mean, it's still 21, 22, but my times are getting now 12, 13. So it's getting cooler now.
Okay, you in tracksuit pants is an image that will live with me for a couple of hours. Wayne, thank you very much. Yeah. I'll speak to you next week. Thank
okay,
you.
Lindsay.
Cheers. Bye-bye. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.